Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm James.
And together we are arguing the toss about...
the things that really matter in games.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Team Rocket there for you.
Little Team Rocket?
Yeah, it's a Pokemon thing, Shella.
Right. You know I don't know Pokemon.
Yep. Are we down to four people now? Or...
yeah. Four people that haven't played Pokemon.
Okay.
So we are episode 7, I believe.
Ah, we've made it that far.
Yes, we have. We haven't been banned from the airways yet.
Oh, okay. Always good.
And this week we're talking sequels.
Yes.
Sequels that never were, or sequels we wish were.
Yeah, like just games we'd like to have sequels, but were never actually given them. So,
yeah.
You know, ones that, like, you know, never even, not even like a kind of, oh, we're going to think about working on this or we're going to do it, but then
yeah.
Didn't come through, but ones that just never happened. So,
So we've picked our sequels that we would like to see, and hopefully nudge those dev teams or publishers or whoever the heck is holding this thing up to get a wriggle on.
Yeah, in that case, I think my ones are going to be fairly bleak in terms of their chances.
Are the teams even still together?
That's kind of an issue.
Okay, so what kicked this off was when we heard the news of Watch Dogs getting a sequel, and I think I emailed you and I was like, well, there's a game that didn't need a sequel. You were like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I was just like fairly kind of like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I could think of a few that needed it, but, you know, okay.
So we've decided on some games that we think should have had a sequel before, over and above Watch Dogs. And here they are.
It's a very specific topic.
Because at least in the bubble that is Argue the Toss, we are the law.
Yeah, like Judge Dredd. There we go.
Yeah, exactly. So do you want to kick off?
Yeah. It's weird with this one because it's a game that, like, when you kind of talk to it about, you know, when you talk to it, like, with people, like, it's, not talk to it, but, you know, talk about it, it's one of those things that everyone kind of goes, oh, yeah, that was amazing, and it never kind of surfaced, and it's partially because Bullfrog are no longer together, and I'd absolutely love to see a sequel to Theme Hospital. I think that would be absolutely brilliant. Because...
Yeah. That was really popular.
Yeah, it was, but it never, you know, they never did any more theme games, because there was only Theme Hospital and Theme Park, and Theme Park, weirdly enough, did get a sequel, but even though I think Theme Hospital was more enjoyable, personally. Yeah, it was just one of those things where it was just really good fun, really easy to do, like, great sort of cartoony style humour, and I think it would just be great for someone to take that on. And, you know, and just, you know, remake it and, you know, do it with, you know, kind of, I think the same isometric perspective would work, you know, do it with a slight sort of more modern sheen. You wouldn't need necessarily, you know, a huge AAA studio to do it. I think you could do it quite readily. Not sure about Peter Molyneux doing it because we might never actually get the game. But, you know, all the Kickstarter will be a bit funny business. But, yeah.
At least it would have a good video. Make us excited.
It'd have the best damn video there is. It's amazing. You know, but yeah, so I mean, I think Theme Hospital, it's just one of those ones that I think actually would be really popular.
And could maybe work on like tablets and stuff like that. And
yeah, I think, you know, definitely. I think it easily could. You know, I hadn't actually thought about tablets, but yeah, no, you're spot on, I think. I think that would be, yeah, I think that'd be very good. And
yeah.
I'd snap it up in an instant, make some new illnesses, and just, you know, have a really fun kind of, you know, strategy game. Well, it is a strategy, you know, sort of micromanagement game that's, you know, easy to pick up. Why not?
Yeah, I think that's cool, because a lot of strategy games are a bit earnest and beard-strokey these days. So... We need a fun injection in the strategy.
Yeah, I mean
arena.
Yeah, I mean, I do like complex strategy games, but I know what you mean. It's it's like it's nice to have a sort of more of a tiered kind of entry kind of point.
Yeah,
really.
For someone who's crap at them like me.
Yeah, or just, you know, or for younger, you know, for anyone who's, you know, not played many games or is just getting started. Like, if you're like a 6-7 year old, that's one of the first kind of things I played like that. You know, I didn't get started with XCOM. As much as I love it, you know, I wouldn't have picked it up at a younger age. So,
yeah, that's a good one. My first one is going to be Red Dead Redemption. Because I loved that game.
Yes.
I mean, I like GTA games, but I loved Red Dead Redemption. I just thought it was a gorgeous world. It was a really lovely setting. I liked just riding around in it. The story was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
The sort of mystery element of that guy who kept turning up, the weird figure who used to come up and he'd have conversations with him around a campfire or something.
Yeah, and I think he's the devil. Like, I think a lot of people thought he was actually the devil or something.
Yeah, or death, or, yeah, it was something kind of...
Oh, no, death, that was it. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that was just a really cool thing to throw in there, you know, this kind of sort of existential figure. You know, I suppose it fits quite well with the sort of American mythos around the West and things like that. So, great game. And I'm just really surprised that, I mean, because when did that come out and how many GTAs have we had since Red Dead? But, I mean, I know GTA is a much more massive series, but...
I think Red Dead, I think, came out 2011, from what I recall. I mean, only GTA 5 has come out since that. I mean, the interesting...
Oh, really? Yeah. God, it seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with... I think with Red Dead is... And it's interesting with Rockstar, because a lot of people forget that Rockstar have so many branches, and a lot of ones, you know, they've got ones in Canada, they've got ones in, you know, they've got about like 3 or 4 in the UK.
Yeah.
You've got Rockstar Leeds, you've got Rockstar North, you know, you know, I think there's a Liverpool branch as well.
Big going concern.
You know, and I think, like, I remember when I first played Red Dead, like, I mean, I really loved GTA, and I did like GTA 5, but, like, before that, I was kind of falling out of love with the series, and when I played Red Dead, I was just like, this is the best thing that Rockstar has put out.
Yeah,
You know, and I think it's still the best script, like, that they've ever written. It was fantastic.
And it had a woman in it who wasn't a prostitute. Slow hand clap for that, Rockstar.
But no, fair play to them. You know, Bonnie McFarlane was a really cool character.
Yeah.
But there were loads of really cool characters. Like, I always liked...
The guy, the snake oil
fella. Yeah, Nigel. Like, you know, Nigel, and he was just like such a dodgy geezer. It was really.
He was brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, just being in that world, and I think it's because it was like a very kind of, you know, a sort of timely kind of thing.
And the music was fantastic. I mean, it sounds like they've gotten like, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young to, like, do the soundtrack when you crossed into New Mexico. It was just incredible. Wow.
Yeah, that was Jose Gonzalez who did that track.
Was it?
Yeah, that was...
God, I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, he actually got an award for that, just that one track, actually. Yeah.
Not surprised, completely deserved.
Yeah, the rest of it was Bill Elm and Woody Jackson, and they were really, they were really awesome.
Yeah, the music was amazing.
Yeah,
There have been some rumours, you know, there have been some rumblings fairly recently, so tail end of last year, that that they are working on a Red Dead 2 or 3, if you count Red Dead Revolver, and that it's going to be called Legends of the West. There was a sort of semi-leak, I don't know, it could be just someone just stirring on the internet, but it was supposedly an ex member of staff so leaked that it's going to be called Legends of the West and it's going to be a prequel, which makes sense because Red Dead was pretty much at the tail end of the West, so there's not much further they could go with it.
And also
going forward,
and also just the story with all the characters, it was just completely wrapped up.
It really was. So yeah, it'd be nice to do it with some other characters, or I guess they might use those characters when they're younger, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, or they like come in like as a little kind of...
Yeah, that would be nicer, I think.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Someone do it.
Yes, please. So, that's that one.
Yep.
You're up.
Right, okay. Because Obscure is clearly my middle name.
I'm not going to know what the hell this game is, am
I? It is, yeah, I mean, because we haven't really done that much stuff that was in 16-bit era, I kind of felt that it kind of was kind of good to do it. This one was actually a game for the Commodore Amiga, and strangely enough, was actually made by DMA Design, who, you know, some people may not know, was the same creators of Lemmings and Grand Theft Auto when they were still just a Scottish developer. And it's a game called Hired Guns, and it's really, oh man, it was so awesome, because it was like a cyberpunk first-person shooter slash dungeon crawler. It was absolutely fantastic. And the whole thing was is that you had four screens always on the game, and you could have up to four players. And this was like 1993, like a four-player co-op game. But if you were playing on your own, you could also have control so that you could actually control the whole team at the same time, and it worked really fantastically. You know, and it had an amazing soundtrack. Visuals were really great for that time as well, and you were kind of like this band of mercenaries who were sort of lured to this planet, and you were basically trapped with all these bioweapons on this planet. And yeah, it was absolutely fantastic, and it's worth checking out. I mean, it's probably best to get an emulator, because I doubt there are too many Amiga owners listening to this, but you know. And it's interesting because Sony currently own the rights, because the publisher was Psygnosis, who then became Sony Computer Entertainment Liverpool. So Sony actually own the rights to this, and I did actually interview the writer of the game, Steve Hammond, and he actually was like, oh, come on, Sony, how about a sequel, eh? And it's weird, because there was a sequel that was never finished, but it was completely awful and dreadful and terrible, because I've played the ISO that exists out there, because it was taken to a different developer, and it was horrible. But a proper sequel to Hired Guns, I think, with like four-player co-op, if you did it online... you know, and updated a few elements of it, I think could actually be amazing, because the setting was fantastic and had a real kind of British feel to it as well.
Yeah, cool. All good. Right, I'm going to press on, because we're getting short on time, and I know that you've got one that you really want to get in, so I'm just going to do this one quickly, which is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yes.
it's mentioned, like, before every E3, we're all like, yes, please, Beyond Good and Evil 2, come on, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
And I think the last news was, it hasn't been cancelled.
Yeah.
It definitely hasn't been cancelled. So, yeah, I mean, it was just such a great game. It was like a bit of a sleeper hit. Well, it wasn't really a hit. It was like a critical success. It wasn't a commercial success. But it was just a lovely, lovely game. There were some gorgeous set pieces in it. And it was just really varied. The gameplay was so varied. All the things you got to do, from like puzzles to, you know, really great sort of, like I said, set pieces, running away. And her photography thing made it a bit like Metroid, where you could collect sort of flora and fauna. Mm. And Jade is just, I think she's one of the best female characters there's ever been.
Yeah, yeah.
She's, you know, not sort of railing against being a girl. She's just, you know, the girl or woman she is, and that's it. She's not, you know, making any statements. She's just a cool character.
Yeah, I think
I really loved that about her.
Yeah, I think definitely you spot on it. She is just a great character, and I think that's always how it should be done. It's just like, oh yeah, we just got a great character here, and then you almost don't, you know, you do a lot more with that, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's, oh man, we need that.
I know. And that teaser trailer looked so nice.
I mean, I don't know, like, what will happen with that, because I'm probably going to mispronounce this for all the French listeners out there, but I think it's Michel Ancel.
Mm.
He's still working at Ubisoft, but he's set up another indie studio. I think there was a bit of trouble with Rayman Legends and a bit of a weird kind of thing with that. But so, and I know that's kind of his baby, I think, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So,
but I think, but he's at Ubisoft Montpellier.
He is still
working. He's working on something that they said is quite big. So
let's hope it's that.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah. And yeah, well, that's awesome. Anyway, unfortunately, we've got to wrap it up there, because we've got so many ideas for this. Maybe it's something we'll revisit. And yeah, hopefully that has either sparked off some research or ideas for you guys. And yeah, always feel free to let us know what your ones are as well, or any ideas for the ones we've had, like Red Dead. But until then, it will be time later on for some more arguing.
Indeed.